Something to think about. The trees that were put out on that curb that may have created, been part of Christmas memories. Just because the ornament was broken, thrown away, doesn't mean it couldn't be repaired. The one tree that they found was alive, but it was still in the pile to be discarded, probably go out to the garbage and be burned. But they didn't leave it there. Save me. They're going to come back and they're going to get that tree. So let's visit a little bit about those things. But first, let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, before you this morning, we come before you and ask for your help to remember Christmas all year, the birth of your Son, to remember why he was born and why he died. Father, the picture that I have in my mind of an infant laying all wrapped up in those cuddly blankets and laying in a manger is one thing, but the picture that is in my mind now of Jesus on that cross, that's a whole different picture, isn't it? And it isn't cuddly, but it is necessary. It is necessary for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Help us to remember both the real joy at Christmas and the real joy at the cross. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Christmas story. What are we talking about? Christmas for? That's long gone. But not that long gone. Many years ago, I was living out in Sherrard, and our kids were 3 and 6. And, of course, they had made out their list, and they had been okay for a while, so they figured they were going to get a present or 2 or 3 or 9. And so Christmas Eve came, and here the kids were already fired up, and they didn't want to go to bed, and I had work to do when they did. Okay, now let me explain something. If you would give me a blueprint, not too complicated, but a blueprint, I could probably sooner or later figure it out. But you give me a dollhouse about that tall and that wide with an attached garage, I'm in trouble. Okay, so the kids finally, very late, went to sleep. Yeah, they're sleeping. Okay, let's go to work. By that time, it was probably, I don't remember exactly, but it was 10, 11, maybe even a little bit later. And so I go to the trunk of our car in the garage to get this dollhouse and a few other things out too. And my goodness, how did she get this in the trunk? It has to weigh 384 pounds, and she must have had 2 Viking linebackers help her put it in there, I think. But we got it out. We got it in the house. Opened up the box. There again. They were going to make sure that this thing didn't fall apart because they had this duct tape on it, which was about, got it open finally. Directions. Where are they? Oh, you got to take everything in the box out to get to the directions that are on the bottom. All right, do that. Get the directions. These directions. What language is that? That's not. Turn it. Oh, that's better. Okay. But still difficult. Still foggy. I can read the page numbers kind of, and if I remember right, I think there was about 12 pages of how to fix. All right. So you've been there. You kind of remember this. It got to be, probably 12. And I'm still working. And it gets to be 1. And I'm still working, and I'm not happy, and I'm still trying to get this thing together. And if I remember right, I think it was 3, 4 o'clock before I said, I have got to get to bed. I have just got to. It wasn't all put together. Still parts were missing. Okay. Go to bed, get to sleep, about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. Ring, 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 ring. Everybody is up and at it. And I'm, okay, I'm ready for Christmas. Guess what? the dollhouse and all the other presents that were under the Christmas tree for the kids, 3 and 6, they loved them. They absolutely loved them, of course. And Jennifer, she never even realized or knew that her dollhouse wasn't completely put together. I knew it. I wasn't going to tell. And I don't think that dollhouse ever did get put together completely. So that's a long, drawn-out tale about a dollhouse assembly at Christmas. Kind of simple, isn't it? And then I ask myself and say an answer, yes, it's simple. Let's talk about these trees, these ornaments, left on the curb. Another question. I'm going to be full of them today, so hang with me. How did your Christmas go this year? Did you have a quiet, peaceful Christmas, or was it busy? House full of company with everyone going here and there and saying when it's time to eat that it's supposed to eat at 1 and now it's 3 and we still haven't eaten and it's not ready. Did you put together toys, dollhouses, and other things till late at night? Or was this Christmas difficult? Was it hard to celebrate? Someone was missing. Something was not normal. Or was this Christmas stressful? Did you say to yourself, I just have to get blank done by blank? Or it will be my fault that this Christmas was ruined and I did stress. Or might you remember a foreign family argument, disagreement? Somebody just had to bring up something to argue about. And it got very uncomfortable. Ouch. Questions. So let's review again, just a little bit further back. 33 days ago, about, we celebrated Christmas. I know that many of you out there, and myself included, have a memory of assembling Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve. And I could tell that some of you could relate to me a little bit on the assembly thing. What are your memories of past Christmases? 33 days ago, or for many, many, many years ago. But in all the things that happened at Christmas this year, what do you remember? With all those different memories jumping around in your mind, did you remember the reason for celebrating? Did you? Now we're getting somewhere. Did you remember that the joy of Christmas is only found in that baby Jesus? Did you remember that He is the only source that can produce lasting joy in our lives? Joy. It's a word that we use a lot. But let's talk about joy at Christmas. Luke 2, verse 4. And this is kind of how I hear it. Joseph and Mary went to the town of Bethlehem so that they could be counted. Mary was very pregnant, and while they were in Bethlehem, the time came for her to have her baby. She gave birth to her first son, wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. There it is. There it is, my friends. That's the plan. That's the blueprint of how it started for us, the plan to not throw us away, but to give us hope and to give us joy. The birth of this baby in Bethlehem is how we are saved from the excruciating pain of spending eternity in hell. Ugh. I'm talking to myself now. I say, hold it, you dork. I'm talking to myself. How can you be talking about a precious, beautiful, newborn baby and in the same sentence talk about burning in hell? It's hard to talk about it, isn't it? Hell is not a pleasant topic. very difficult. Given a choice, I'd rather not. We don't have a choice. We have to. We'll talk about hell just a little bit later, but for now. Remember Christmas. Can you think of anybody that you've given up on? Maybe like the trees, the ornament. You gave up on them. You threw them out. You cast them away. You gave up. You forgot that they could be fixed. You forgot, like Travis and Josh, that kept that tree that was alive. That one. Save me. But it was still thrown in with the ones to be discarded, probably taken to the garbage dump, probably burned, maybe. Does anyone come to mind? Anyone? Again, remember Christmas and remember that joy, the message of Jesus' birth and spreading it, and not just forget about it for another year. You know, I've told you before, I think we ought to sing Christmas carols in about July and September, you know, every couple of months or so. I'd love it. I really would. Do you remember that tree? Those persons that we have given up on. Those persons we have forgotten, got frustrated with, said, I've had it. This is enough. I'm done. This is the umpteenth time. And I said, that's it. I'm through with you. You go into my garbage dump. You say, that's mean. That's cruel. And you're right. But it's true, isn't it? It is for me. Remember Christmas. The Bible says it. I believe it. Jesus was born. Let's party. Yahoo! Jesus was born. Let's celebrate. Christmas brings us great joy. Matthew and Luke, they write the birth story just a little bit different, but they agree on this. Christ's coming is not simply an occasion for joy, but, now listen, great joy. Okay, got it? Great joy. Now, why do I mention such a minor thing like great joy? But I thought this was interesting. And I read this. I don't know it, but I read it and I checked it, and it's true. How many times do you think that the word joy is repeated in the Bible? Bentley, how many do you think? 100? Good guess. Anybody else? The word joy. How many times in the Bible? Well, this author said that this one English Bible, joy, was mentioned about 200 times. Okay? Quite a few. All right, now, let's talk about this other one. Great joy. Great joy. So, I would think, and I don't know about you, but I would think great joy would probably be mentioned as many times, almost, but it's not. Great joy is mentioned in the Bible less than 10 times. So that must mean this is a pretty big deal, this great joy thing, huh? Great joy is rare. Great joy is saved for special occasions. Here are some places where it's used. Great joy is used at the restoration of the Passover after generations of neglect. Great joy. 2 Chronicles 30:26. Great joy is used at the dedication of Nehemiah's rebuilt walls after the return from exile. Great joy. Nehemiah 12:43. Joy. We use it a lot. Great joy is kept for the highest of moments. Okay, so we'll say it again. Great joy was only used on special occasions, but here it is. Here it is. Matthew and Luke, again, mention at Jesus' birth, what do they say? Great joy. Great joy. Both Gospels celebrate great joy at His resurrection and ascension in Matthew 28:8 and Luke 24:52. Acts 15:3 mentions great joy at the surprising and wonderful inclusion of the Gentiles in God's new covenant people. And how could Jude 24 describe our coming into God's own presence without the experience of great joy? Great joy. Great joy. Remember Christmas. Jesus was born. Luke 2:7. And she, Mary, gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger. Jesus grew up. Luke, verse 52. In favor with God and with people, he listened, he learned. Jesus made friends. He formed relationships. When Jesus spoke, many listened. Did they all listen? Probably not. Again, from Luke 52, verse 41. I got a smile when I read this every time. Now, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year for the feast of the Passover. Okay? And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. Okay, the following verses, 43 through 51, describe that Mary and Joseph both thought that their son was with the other, or with the family, and they took off and they traveled down the road. How far? I think like 3 days, wasn't it? Quite a ways. Where's Jesus? Anybody ever forgotten your kids somewhere? Patty, I'm not going to tell them how we forgot Sarah here because you were without her. No, we're not going to go there. Verse 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with people. In favor with God and favor with people. Remember Christmas. Jesus spent 30 plus years on earth. The ministry of Jesus begins starting Matthew 4, verse 12. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He first went to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. And then from Mark 1. One day Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. As Jesus came up out of the water, he saw the heavens splitting apart and the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me," there it is, "great joy." Can you picture that? Man, isn't that a lovely picture in our minds? Great joy. But Mark 15, verse 33. And Jesus died. At noon, the whole country was covered with darkness, which lasted for 3 hours. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why did you forsake me?" Some of the people there heard him and said, "Listen, he's calling for Elijah." One of them ran up with a sponge soaked in cheap wine and put it on the end of a stick and held it up to Jesus' lips and said, wait, let's see if Elijah is coming to bring him down from this cross. Verse 37. With a loud cry, Jesus died. The curtain hanging in the temple was torn in half from top to bottom. An army officer who was standing there in front of the cross, he saw how Jesus had died. And this officer said, "This man this man was really the Son of God. Don't forget Christmas. Remember Christmas. Remember what Daryl and Willie said about the broken Christmas ornament? Travis and Josh. Good job, guys. Thank you. The broken ornament, they said, it's repairable. It could be fixed. I thought I might have heard them mention something about crazy glue. Now, I could have been wrong. But for us as broken people, crazy glue isn't going to get it, is it? You know what will? Crazy love. Great joy. Yeah. Remember Christmas. Now, I've got to mention Josh and Travis's alive Christmas tree, folks. Save me. It's like us. Save me. While we're still alive, do we sometimes feel like we've been thrown into that pile of dead trees? We are functioning, surviving. Could we be doing better? Could we be doing better? Think about it. Remember Christmas. Jesus was born. He lived on earth, and he died. Here on earth, he did, folks. He did. But now, the wonderful, terrible, awful, life-giving rest of the story. Huh? You know where we're going, don't you? Like that tree that Josh and Travis found alive. Save me. It's alive. But it was still headed out to the garbage dump. We are headed out to that garbage pit too, the same place. Ooh, there's that word again. That place is called hell. Oh, hold a second. Ooh, wrong. Disregard that. I should have said, we were headed out to that garbage pit. We were. Remember Christmas? I have another question for me, for all of us. Why should we want to be in that garbage, that pile of garbage? Why do we want to be there? Why would we want to stay there? We don't have to. Listen up. Because this is the part when the crowd erupts and the screaming and hollering is heard for miles. From Mark 16. After the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus, and Salome, they bought spices to go and anoint the body of Jesus. Very early, on Sunday morning at sunrise, they went to the tomb. On the way there, they said to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" It was a very, very large stone. But then, they looked up. That very large stone was gone. What do you think they thought about that? The stone. It was gone. But little did they realize that the stone being moved was only part of the surprises coming on that day, did they? Continuing with verse 5 in Mark 16. So they entered the tomb where they saw a young man sitting at the right wearing a white robe. Surprise again. And they were alarmed. Yeah, you think so? Alarmed? Probably terrified, asking themselves, what's going on here? In verse 6, the young man spoke to them and said, "Don't be alarmed. I know you're looking for Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised. Look, here's where he was. He's not there anymore. So they went out, ran from the tomb, distressed and terrified. Did they shout it to the highest heaven and run around and go tell everybody? No. Good job. They did not. They said nothing. I wonder why they didn't say anything. They'd been asked to. Do you think that they might have said nothing because they were not going to be believed and people were going to say, yeah, probably maybe. Remember Christmas. Jesus rose again. He is alive. And many people saw him. 1 Corinthians 15:3. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just like the Scripture said. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12, and after that he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all apostles. Last of all, remember who's writing this. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. Who said that? Saul, Paul. I also saw him. And he said, for I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I am not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. Remember Christmas! And then 40 days later, Jesus ascended into heaven and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. But before he ascended, he gave us some instructions, didn't he? He said, go. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them and teach them and sit with them. Sit with them during hard times and cry with them and listen to them and love them and tell them about the saving grace that started on Christmas Day many, many years ago. We can't, we must not, we dare not ever, ever, ever forget Christmas. But there's still more to the story. When Jesus was born, when he grew up, when he taught the teachers, he knew why he was here on heaven. When he was riding into Jerusalem, when he was hailed as the long-awaited Messiah, when he stood trial before Pilate and he just answered him, you have said it. When he was chosen instead of a murderer to be crucified, he knew why. And he accepted his fate to die a horrible death on that cross. Why? Why should this perfect God-man, man, why should this perfect man who has never even sinned die like that? Remember Christmas? Why? Jesus died in this horrible way for you and for you and for you and for you and for me. He died so that we can live. And not just live like the years that we spend on this earth, but in heaven forever with him when this life is over. But we have to do our part. Our part is not difficult, but making a decision. It's a choice. You have to receive him. You have to receive him and his suffering and his death. You have to receive him for yourself. You have to tell him, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. Lord, with your help, I really want to do better. You have to say, Lord, I ask you to forgive me and clean me up and give me a new home in heaven when my life is over. When you tell him, when you ask him, and you mean it, he will say, come in, you're welcome here. Come in with me forever and ever into heaven. But when you say those words, I accept you, Lord, something else has got to happen. And I just read this, and I agree. I accept you, Lord. I want you in my life. I want to go to be with you in heaven. But Lord, do I really have to change? Yeah, that's the other part. We have to change because we have been accepted. We can't keep our whole lives. We can't do the things that we used to do. We have to do what the Lord God has instructed us to do. Go ye therefore. Have you accepted him? Have you asked him? Have you told him that you're sorry? Have you accepted his forgiveness and turned your life over to him? If you haven't, I'm going to ask that you give their life to him now today. We're going to pause just a minute. And if you have never given your life to the Lord, I urge you to do that today, right now. You can sit or stand or go in the back. It doesn't make any difference. But there's something else I want you to do. I'd like to ask you to do. First, if you haven't accepted the Lord, today's the day. But when you accept the Lord, you have to change your life. Boy, can't we think of lots of things we can do differently? But there's one other thing I'd like to ask you to do. During this minute or so of quiet time, still, I would ask that each of us come to the Father through the Holy Spirit and consider this. Consider who the Lord may be putting into our minds right now that I have forgotten, that you have forgotten, that I need to befriend, that I need to listen to, that I need to pray for, to hang out with, and to show our love to. Hey, guys, we might not like him, but we gotta love him. We do. I stand before you right now. Many of you know my story. And I therefore believe that I am an example of God's overwhelming grace and forgiveness. He loves us. During this minute, think about those things. Yourself, accepting the Lord. That person who I've thrown, put him in the garbage dump, left him there. Tell him, I want to, Lord, I want to come to you. Will you let me? And he will say, yeah. Come on in. So bow our heads and let's just think about this thing just a couple minutes. Quiet time. Who do you bring to my mind, Lord? I have accepted you. I know I have. I'm a member. I will go to be with you in heaven, Lord. But what do I need to do differently than I am doing now, Lord? What is that? Lord, how about my friend blank that I can't hardly stand to be around many of the time because of... If you had that conversation with the Lord today and accepted him as your Lord and Savior, tell me. Tell someone. Denny or Jim or Roger or myself. Or tell somebody. Because you know why? You talk about celebrating, folks. This is it. This is the ultimate reason to celebrate. You know, we see stories about, and these are stories, we'll talk about that later, about bells ringing when somebody accepts the Lord and all kinds of things for Christmas, and it's really cute, and it is. But you know what we know for sure? When we read the account of this, what are they doing in heaven when one accepts? They're celebrating, aren't they? They are. It's a big deal. They know. They're celebrating. Also, if you have prayer requests, or if you want to get together with anybody and talk about that person that you put into your, I'm not going to say garbage pile, but maybe your discarded pile, if you want to do that, talk to us. We would love to talk to you. And that is really the rest of the story. And that, my friends, is why we remember Christmas. We don't throw it out on the curb to be put in the trash, but we always keep it in our hearts and remember Christmas as the beginning, don't we? Remember Christmas. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we come before you this morning with joy, celebrating, thanking you for Christmas. You brought us a present that we do not deserve. Your Son asked to be delivered from this suffering and death, but you said, no, can't be. It's got to be done this way. Your Son knew it, and he said, not my will, but yours be done. Father, Lord, God, I ask that this morning one or many receive you, and that many remember that someone they had or may have forgotten that had been thrown into that garbage discard pile. I pray, Lord, that we go get them off the pile and crazy love them, Lord. Thank you this morning for being here with us. And we give you praise and glory and thanks for Christmas. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.